Can we just talk?
Metro FM Talk with Faith Mongope. Monday to Thursday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
It's 15 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday evening. Let's get into some of our conversations for this evening. First up, looking at exactly what is happening within the social development, or that is the South African Social Security Agency, that is SASSA. Allegations that have been leveled against it more than anything else, but it's serious here. Because according to Social Development Minister Lindiwe Zulu, and we'll get clarity from her in just a moment, the South African Social Security Agency has irregularly paid more than 150 million rand to deceased former social grant beneficiaries over the past 3 years. Of course, this was a response to parliamentary questions from DAMP Jacques Smaller, was asked about the system in place to verify and prohibit deceased former social grants recipients or cardholders from getting paid, and whether there had been instances where such payments were made. Well, let's get some the latest now. We're joined by the Minister of Social Development, Minister Lindiwe Zulu. Minister, it's always a pleasure having you on. Thanks for joining us and welcome to Metro FM Talk.
Thank you very much, Faith, for the opportunity to continue explaining again, as we have been, and SASSA issued a statement already. It's almost some weeks ago, but if we need to keep on explaining, we will keep on explaining.
Perhaps let's start there from the beginning, because, I mean, this was done during also the parliamentary questions that arose. And I know that the Democratic Alliance also had a keen interest when it comes to the systems that actually prohibit former social grant beneficiaries or deceased beneficiaries from actually continuing to receive these payouts. So let's start from the beginning. Did we find upon investigation that indeed there were some people who had been deceased, who declared deceased, who had now received these social grants? And were the numbers the numbers that I'm reading out, or how was it working exactly?
Let me say yes. The numbers of people who get paid after they've been deceased is a fact. And this is because, one, many instances, SASSA has to wait for the information of a person who has been deceased. And that information normally comes through Home Affairs and the Department of and SASSA normally has those checks every 22nd of each and every month. SASSA will check whether beneficiaries are still alive or not. In many instances, we rely on the information we get from Home Affairs of people having passed on the basis of issuance of a death certificate. And in some instances, you find that in between the time that SASSA has to pay and the time that we get information, some people get paid in that process. And SASSA has a system of trying to recoup that money from the families of those people once SASSA is aware of the fact that some people have been paid. And I do want Faith to say that this has been, it's in a period of 3 years that we are talking about, because I've been realizing that sometimes the information doesn't go right. It's like almost every year, this is the number of people that get paid even when they are deceased. SASSA is also doing its best to make sure that there's a seamless process between Home Affairs and SASSA so that we get information at the right time. But the fact is, within the system, if somebody passes on within the period when the money has already been paid, it becomes very difficult for SASSA to immediately recoup that money from the family, because the person who was paid obviously is deceased, and we need to make sure that we do our best to get the money. But it's usually very difficult to get that money, particularly because most of the time, those people who are paid and yet they've passed on, the money is withdrawn by the family. In some instances, the family is entirely dependent on that money, but we're not justifying that if they entirely depend on that money, they should not allow and inform us of the fact that a beneficiary has passed on.
You know, Minister, in fact, let me go pay some bills. I think that my time is ticking here. Let's pay some bills. We'll come back and we'll expound on this. And if you've got questions for the Minister of Social Development, Lindiwe Zulu is in conversation with us. We're talking here about the deceased beneficiaries or people that have been deceased who are continuing to be beneficiaries over the past 3 years. About 74,636 or so people who were deceased were receiving SASSA grants. grants. If you've got a question for the minister, especially when it comes to SASSA grants and the payment methods and the like, let's talk after the break. It's 23 minutes after 7 o'clock, of course. So we're still in conversation with the Minister of Social Development, Lindiwe Zulu. We're speaking here about the SASSA beneficiaries, those who have been paid irregularly or maybe they were not supposed to be paid simply because they're deceased. 150 million rand or so over the past 3 years. Minister, I know that it's an integrated approach, right? So on one side, you require that death certificate or that notification of somebody being deceased, and it cannot be done unless Home Affairs is the one that actually makes the submissions, and that can't happen at Home Affairs unless the family in itself decides to declare. Because ultimately, if we're looking at that kind of pronged approach, it is no surprise. I'm not saying we're justifying it in any way, but it would be no surprise that some family members, especially who are receiving these grant payments and it's their lifeline, will not want to declare a beneficiary deceased. If you're looking at it from Home Affairs perspective and some of the integration problems that sometimes Home Affairs finds itself with, they may themselves take time. And while they're taking time to process, you guys are making payouts. It means that people that are not alive being paid. Are there other mechanisms that can be explored which will allow for payments and also notification of death to happen timelessly? In other words, if somebody's been declared dead, maybe let's say in the medical, from a doctor's perspective, or whether it's whoever it is, that immediately you guys as SASSA get notification, because otherwise we're going to be repeating that same circle, and because you depend on Home Affairs telling you about what's happening and who's deceased, you're never going to know right on time. So are there other mechanisms that you are exploring so that we kind of minimize how much payment gets done? Because these are payments that could have been going to people that are alive, and they're going to people that are not alive.
Thank you very much for that. Yes, there is a process that normally takes place just around the 22nd and the 23rd of every month, which therefore means SASSA is conscious, the Department of Social Development is very much conscious of the fact that it's not always that people are going to report, and it's not always that the information will get on time. So between the 22nd and 23rd of every month, and in instances that the client is found to be deceased, such a record is deactivated by SASSA. Hence, you can see that the reduction in the numbers from the time that we realized this, and the reduction in numbers almost every month, is informed by this exercise, which is a tedious exercise but a necessary exercise on the 22nd and the 23rd of each and every month. I think you might have heard, for instance, that we were having a review process that impacted on some of the people. Now I'm not talking about the deceased. I'm talking about people who change their surnames, who get married, who change their places and so forth. We found that there were, in January, there were a number of people who were not paid because they did not respond to SASSA's request to them to make the changes, because the system is such that we are able to check even with the banks, and when the name or anything in the name of the person and the ID number changes, we are able to identify that. But this one in particular is of concern, obviously, to myself, and it's a concern to the Department of Social Development. Hence, our working together with Home Affairs to say, can we have a better system that can correspond with each other? But I must say, it still will remain with a problem, because some people get paid just a few days. Some people pass away in between the time that we are paying them. I mean, there are, for instance, let me make an example. About 2,055 clients, which represents 0.01 of the total population paid by SASSA on monthly basis, we might find that 2,055 clients have passed on, and then we have to make sure that with Home Affairs, we chase that, and we must look for new systems. Because what is exciting for me as a minister is that every time there's a problem, we must find a solution. And that there are new ways of doing it now, from using technology and connecting. But we will still have a situation where when families are supposed to report, they don't report, which therefore means our system must be resilient enough to be able to deal with those that would not tell us, or when the system of Home Affairs delays, because you know when somebody passes on, it's not today that you know. There's got to be a reporting, there's got to be a death certificate, there's got to be a whole range of things that need to be done. But with today's technology, I can assure you, Faith and listeners, SASSA is looking for a better way of solving this problem, because we are very much conscious of the fact that there isn't enough money. Money must go to those people who deserve to get the money, and that we must also be conscious of the fiscal challenges, and therefore, I believe we need to keep on finding systems that will help us and not entirely depend on people who are not going to come up, because many of them are dependent on the very same grant, including the burial of some of the people that have passed on.
Yeah, it's a very difficult one. As I said, that I want to be able to be fair in this conversation in saying that, look, the fact of the matter, if you're depending on Home Affairs to be able to clarify and verify that somebody is deceased, and then Home Affairs is dependent on the family members coming in and being brought forward, it would be no surprise. I'm not saying it's right, but it would be no surprise that some family members, especially if you find that the person who's deceased was the one that was looking after the family, will not want to declare that person deceased. We've seen this time and time again, because that money is going to stop. It's going to go to somebody that is alive. But then there has to be another way. There has to be another way where immediately when somebody's deceased, SASSA gets notified of it. That doesn't necessarily have to go through Home Affairs. Maybe we can all find as a collective an alternative solution for this. I'd love your thoughts on it. Please give us a call. I know that we've also got a couple of voice notes as well. I'll go to the lines after this. Let me take some of your voice notes first, and then we'll go to take some calls.
Good evening, Faith. I hear the minister what she's saying, but how is it possible that banks, immediately when a death certificate is issued, they freeze everything that belongs to the deceased person? How is SASSA not using the very same technology or the very same system? How and why are they not using it?
That is a very good one. That is a very good one. Let me take Musa in East London. Musa, hi.
Hey, someone has a faith and got a woman in London called Minister Zulu, ne?
Yebo Puti, go ahead, sir.
Okay. Minister Zulu, I'm one of the persons living with disabilities. I'm from East London, who's physically blind. My plea that I've been making, even with Ms. Lumkaudi Fund, who's facing, is that, is it possible that you could please put us, all us on the first for the payment? Because some of us, we are coming from disadvantaged backgrounds, whereby we're all depending on the social plan. Mm-hmm. Some homes, there's no one who's working. For instance, in my home, my mother's a domestic worker, and I'm not working. I'm depending on the disability plan. Mm-hmm. I only got paid today. Imagine the fees for disability plan. Meanwhile, before the COVID, you used to pay on the first.
Before COVID, hey, Musa.
Yes, but. Yeah. We are not long on the pandemic right now. Mm. You know, because they were back to normality now. Mm. And the last issue is that in Tanzania, SASSA, they don't fast track us, fast to policy, which caters for elderly and disabled people. They don't looking after us in that particular SASSA. I call the SASSA helpline concern. They are sending us to post. How can I stand on the queue if I'm physically blind? How can I
stand? Where is it in Tanzania?
Yes, the SASSA office.
We
are forced to stand on the queue. Yeah. We want the government police, first two policy. It says that elderly people and people with disabilities, they are supposed to be prioritized in all public spaces. But I don't know if my minister can address these issues.
Thank you very much for phoning in, Musa. Thank you so much, sir. Look, listen, keep them coming. I think that it's good for us to be able to take advantage of opportunities to speak to the minister, especially about some of the issues that you've got. Would you allow me, DJ, just to take maybe, let me take Kolisa in Johannesburg. Kolisa, hi.
Good evening, Faith and Minister Zulu.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. All I wanted to suggest or say that from day one, their system from social development should have been linked to Home Affairs, so that any report of death that comes from Home Affairs also reflects into their system, so to avoid paying people who are not deserving to be paid.
That system is linked. The problem is when the notification happens, Xolisa. That's what you were saying, that the system, yes, that's why they depend on Home Affairs, but that's why they need to explore other systems. And I love what and we're going to ask the minister about that. One of the voice notes was saying, if you immediately are deceased, the bank also freezes your accounts almost immediately. Are we able to apply with the very same system that the banks are using to freeze your account? And what system do they use? Do they use from the medical side? So in other words, do they get like that information from the the undertakers and stuff? Do they get immediately notified, because those accounts are frozen almost immediately, you know? So what's the process there? But I will definitely forward that question to you, Xolisa. I do appreciate it. Let me go to Pretoria with Nico. Nico, hi.
Good day. My name is Nico. I am an identity management specialist, and thank you for the topic today.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
This is something that is dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. So more than anything, I'd like to appeal to say, as soon as we don't know who's who, it's going to be very difficult to solve the problem. And many a times we take systems that don't really say who we are. I mean, you look at artificial intelligence, and now you can't really prove that is it my face or not. So right mechanisms need to be put in place, and should there be off the line that one could present a solution or two, I'd be definitely delighted. But I think to solve the problem,
AI,
we do need to be able to identify people in the correct manner, not using these selfie technologies, because with AI we can see Instagram, everybody's anybody. So yes, that's my two cents.
Much appreciated, Nico. And listen, I appreciate your identity specialists and all of them. So that's very nice. Minister, you've got some suggestions coming in from the members of the public, some frustrations. So let's take you through. So the first one, I think, was the notion around how is it that banks are notified almost immediately when there's somebody that has been deceased? Do they also go through the same mode where they get from Home Affairs? But because I understand that, you know, I've dealt with a lot of people that passed away in my family, unfortunately. And truth of the matter is those bank accounts are frozen almost immediately. So what do they do that we could potentially do so that we can better capacitate the system at SASSA?
No, thank you very much. I am not well. You say you've had your own experience of people who have passed on immediately and the banks stop their accounts and all. I mean, it would be good for us to look at how they do that. But also we do work with the banks, by the way, because let me tell you, for a 350, for instance, if you get a money into your account and the money is consistent, we automatically cancel paying you the 350, because we can see through our relationship and through our arrangements with the banks, we see that. Maybe it might be a good idea to check with them how they do that. But as far as the system people are talking about, yes, our systems are actually linked, because remember I said right at the beginning, every 22nd and 23rd of the month, SASSA does the check of whether people are still alive or not. And remember that we are paying more than 19 million people, and I'm not justifying. 5, 10, 15 people already paid when they're not supposed to be paid. It's not a good thing for us.
Mm.
But here, the fact of the matter is that we consistently have to keep on improving our system, because if we were to look at what we were doing as way back 1994 when we started getting these huge numbers, we've been improving our system all the time. And with technology, we also tap into it. Obviously, the challenge for us is also that tapping into that new technology is extremely expensive. We spend a lot of money on administration and all, because of the fact that whatever system we put in place, even the relationship we have with the banks, is not cheap, it's not free, we have to pay. So sometimes we need to balance between the administrative financial money that we pay for the administration and improving. Now this one of Nico says is an identity specialist. We really look forward to people who have that capacity. And I know that when you talk about AI, we see there's a lot of improvement. We want to keep on adjusting ourselves to new technologies, but also the new technologies are not cheap. Let me go to the issue of the disability and the payment and the changes of the payment of the social grants. Part of what is a problem for us is the fact that people receive their money directly from SASSA into their account. But we have a problem where people flock into the centers, and you end up having to pay so many millions in one day or 2 days. During COVID, we realized that one of the things that we could do in order to reduce the hours and the numbers of people standing in the queues was to segment the kind of payment. On this day, we pay only the elderly. On this day, we pay only the... Because that way, it makes it even easy for the system. Because to pay 19 million people in one day, any system is bound to have challenges. So we have to keep on improving the system. And unfortunately for us, one way also of trying to improve the system was for us to segment and not be paying everybody on one day, because it just becomes very heavy for the system. And we don't like it. It's painful for us to see, well, at least for me, it's painful to see people queuing for a very long time. And in some instances, even when we ask the banks and ask other people where people are getting their money, just for them to give them chairs to sit on, especially the elderly, especially the people with disability, and especially mothers who are expectant, we ask, we engage with the banks or wherever the center of payment is, we plead with them to please give them chairs, at least for them to be able to sit somewhere.
Yeah, look, it certainly is, and as I said, that this is a very tricky one, because ultimately it is a chain reaction, right? So it requires one part of the chain to be okay in order for you to be able to eventually reach the next part of the chain as well. So we will keep talking about it, keep exploring those options, Minister, that are available of making of allowing technology that will make it perhaps much more or more efficient and less expensive technology that will allow for a streamlining of that of the system, so that you do not end up coughing up 150 million rand and this is going to people that are deceased when it could be going to people that are alive. Secondly, we cannot also remove the human element of it. In other words, people being so desperate for dependency of social grants that they decide not to declare that their family members are deceased. This we've seen. And more than anything else, let's keep talking. And I think you and I as well, as a listener, let's keep talking about this, because ultimately that's the only way that it's actually going to work. It's 39 minutes after 7 o'clock. I've got lots of voice notes. I've got lots of phone calls, but we've got so much to cover as a collective this evening. We'll pause it right there. Much appreciated, as always, Minister of Social Development, Minister Lindiwe Zulu.
Can we just talk?
Metro FM Talk with Faith Mongope, Monday to Thursday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.